You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled. You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
April 2nd, 2020. We're past April Fool's Day. Everything going forward, no joking. Hasn't been much joking over the last few days anyway, right? Our jobless numbers, because of what we're going through in this nation and the rest of the world is as well, the pandemic and its effect upon the economies around the world and this nation, more than 6.6 million Americans applying for unemployment benefits just last week. Just last week. That comes after 3.3 million previously. Claims skyrocketing, large segments of the U.S. economy shut down, all in response to government orders. And yet we still have a lot of folks that are busy doing the best they can. We certainly appreciate the trucking industry, the cargo shipments and so forth that are making sure supplies are delivered where we need them and what we need. Now there is talk. Do we need a national quarantine? That would mean the president would decide no domestic flights, no trains, not only between state borders but between counties, no bus transportation. We're not there yet. We're still looking at the next 2 weeks as a battleground where hopefully we will have gotten to the peak and then on the downside of that bell curve. But precautions are still needed. And there are those who are also saying maybe we do need to have everyone, if you're outside at all, to any extent, wear a mask. Here we go again. This issue about masks, we've been around the corner several times on this. Some folks say it does good. Some say it doesn't. Some say it just really helps you not touch your face and your mouth with your fingers if you touch something else, not because it might be airborne. I think the general consensus is now that if you're out in public, probably a good idea to wear a mask, but I know not everyone is. Now, I will tell you this. I'm walking into a clinic yesterday, actually one of the medical facilities. I had to go in for a blood check. And these two ladies are standing there with masks behind this table, and they're kind of smiling, talking to me, and I'm kind of nodding. And I think they're just passing the time. I took another step, and I swear I thought one of them was going to turn around and absolutely tackle me and pull me to the ground. She said, "We have to check your temperature before you're allowed inside. And then you have to answer all our questions. Have you been around any COVID-19? Have you had any coughs?" And then when she asks, "Have you had any coughs?" The first thing you want to do is, it's a reflex. But I didn't. So finally I got cleared to go on inside, which is good. But I think it's a precaution and that's necessary. And I can certainly live with it, and so can you. Worldwide, the deaths right now at 960,000. Let me correct that. 960,000 infections and 48,000 deaths. U.S. infections, 220,000. Deaths, 5,000. We have a lot of companies doing the best they can to take care of their employees during this time. I know several restaurant owners who said we're going to do the best we can to get some kind of base pay to our folks. But, of course, that's not going to be enough. That's not anywhere near what they're normally getting. Those who rely on doing car sales, they're not getting any traffic. No one's coming to buy a car at this point, obviously. Home sales. You have your general services such as a service station and some grocery stores still in operation. some small restaurants maybe still trying to maintain an in-house dining, most of them going to carry out. We're working our way through this. We do have a ways to go. In the midst of this, there's a story that came up that I'm not sure you saw. And that is that the Michigan governor, who was against President Trump and his idea about using a particular medicine and was denying it, has done a 360. Now, let me correct it, a 180. We'll get into her story and the rest of them. We got a lot to cover over the next 2 hours. Log and load, ready, on the right.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
COVID-19, coronavirus, is real. But despite all the hype, the fake news, there's no need to panic. Still, you want your environment safe for customers, employees, family. What can be done? How much would it cost? Who to trust? I can tell you, Wellington Environmental. Wellington Environmental would determine the best way to protect against COVID-19. Wellington Environmental can do it at a very reasonable cost. When it comes to trust, for more than 30 years, Wellington Environmental has been working with hospitals, nursing homes, universities, schools, even private homes. You don't last more than 30 years if you're not doing an excellent job. COVID-19 is a new health concern, but Wellington Environmental has the experience to give you peace of mind. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Come with me now. Come with me now.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Here's your red meat. And that is, again, what are we doing about the virus? Who's to blame for getting to this point? If you're looking for a culprit, many on the left would look to the White House. No, no, that's not where the culprit's to be found. And in fact, a little bit later, you're going to hear from a Democrat governor. A Democrat governor where CNN tries to pin him down and have him chastise, criticize, slander, slur President Trump, and he refuses to do so. Absolutely refuses. We'll get to that a little bit later in this hour. But then there are those who are going to continue to say all of this that we're battling now is because Trump failed as president and failed to protect us, and failing now as to why we are at this point. That is not the fact. This started in China. It is the China flu, as the president has pointed out. But more importantly than just starting there, it's how China was handling it. And we've got an expert coming up in the next hour that's going to detail some of the things China was doing to circumvent reporting, and when it was reporting, it was lying. And when it was lying, it was also getting the World Health Organization to help carry out the lie. Now there's a report about, from a classified report sent to the White House, a U.S. Intel community report, that said the communist officials in China have hidden the severity of the coronavirus outbreak within their borders, underreporting both total cases and fatalities. No surprise, but again, just more documentation. That's what they've been doing. In fact, they say during the early stages of the epidemic in China, that now we know is a global pandemic, Beijing was hiding the extent of the viral outbreak, as according to one part of the report, muzzling, jailing whistleblowers and critics. According to this report, as acknowledged by Bloomberg, the officials asked not to be identified because the report is secret, declined to detail its contents, but the thrust, they said, is that China's public reporting on cases and deaths is intentionally incomplete. That's a key phrase, intentionally incomplete. What would China have to gain by intentionally keeping the information quiet? Well, you know, and I know, it's a communist nation. They don't want anything to get out that would look bad, and they make sure they try to control it at all points. Two of the officials said that the report concludes that China's numbers are fake, just absolutely fake. And that report was sent to the White House just last week. Communist China has been changing its methodology, I should say, for counting the cases different ways, different times. Now, they're going to tell you that the first case of the coronavirus in China would be mid-November 2019. There have been some saying, it's been around probably prior to that time, but that's when maybe they began to take a closer look and begin to realize it was not being transmitted simply by folks eating some of these animal creatures, whatever they're buying, bats or snakes from some of these wet markets, and because of what they were eating, but because they were passing the transmission from one to the other. But if they're going to try to pin down a date, they're going to say sometime mid-November. Tuesday, Dr. Birx, the coordinator of the White House Coronavirus Task Force, blasted the Chinese data, saying it purposely misled experts on the seriousness of the deadly and highly contagious disease. And she said, and I'm quoting now, "I think the medical community interpreted the Chinese data as this was serious but smaller than anyone expected, because I think probably we were missing a significant amount of the data." So when I hear and I watch the left try to weaponize this against Trump, because that's all they've got to do, trying to do what they can to ruin him before the election coming up and make this a weight around his neck, I looked at Dr. Birx, who is a coordinator of this task force. I want Dr. Fauci of the Infectious Disease Control Group, all of them acknowledging we did not get the right and correct information from China. They were lying to us. In fact, she said that when she saw the early data from China reporting only 50,000 cases among the 80 million that live in that province, she thought it was, well, it's probably going to be maybe similar to SARS, which went around the globe leaving 8,000 dead. I mean, with 8,000 cases and less than 1,000 deaths. So they were looking at that as might not be anything worse than that. It was only when the information began to come out of countries like Italy, Spain, and South Korea, they began to see this is much, much bigger. South Korea was an early bell warning for us as well when they began to run tests, extensive tests, and find it a lot more prevalent than what they might have suspected if it's the typical SARS. And then when you have the death rate escalating in Italy, because a lot of that particular area of Italy had gone into China and coming back and they were older, China eventually imposed a strict lockdown. But of course, they're not the only country with suspect reporting. Iran has acknowledged numerous deaths, and we're not even sure we're getting the clear picture there. And North Korea insists it has not a single case of that disease. Then you also had to look at Saudi Arabia and Egypt. They may also be having numbers they're fudging with. But when President Trump began to take the action, while he's constantly under attack for not doing enough, soon enough, fast enough, when you ignore what he did do, not giving him the least bit credit, they're going to continue to use this as a battering ram against the White House and the doors of the Trump team. Within hours of President Trump's decision to restrict travel from China on January 31st, many of the top Democrats and, of course, the left wing started saying this is unnecessary, it's xenophobic. Former Vice President Biden said, there he goes again, showing he's a racist. And they were all quick to say that decision, and they did it within hours of him making that decision, to ban, restrict travel from China on January 31, you're trying to slander the Chinese and trying to cause panic when he was actually taking the very first step we needed. And even then, coming January 31, while experts will say it gave us an extra 2 to 3 weeks advantage, it was also, yeah, a couple of weeks or so behind at least what it should have been. But that's because of the information we were getting out of China. There is one U.S. senator, who is raising the question about, I think this is much bigger. I think it's much, much bigger. And Senator Tom Cotton of Arkansas. We're going to talk about him in more detail later in today's program. But he was one of the ones who, while everyone else was rushing off, and they were, rushing off to all the impeachment hearings and all the focus on impeachment, getting rid of the president through the impeachment process, he was one of the ones who was spending his time not on the impeachment issue, but getting briefings on what's going on with China. But again, here's the example you get from the left-wing media. A January 31 article in the New York Times, quoting an epidemiologist, he said that Trump's decision to restrict travel from China was, quote, more of an emotional or political reaction. This is an epidemiologist who should always be concerned about what can we do to stop the spread of anything. And yet he wanted to say, and quickly got in line with the crowd to say, Trump is being irrational, and here he is being reacting on emotion and political reaction. And weeks later, the same New York Times reported that dozens of nations across the world have imposed their travel restrictions with China, and it did not criticize any of them. They did not go back and ask the epidemiologist, what do you think about these other nations? Well, I think they're also being emotional and showing political reaction. No, they didn't do that because they knew what the fact was at that point. The Washington Post ran a story questioning a Chinese official, asking for empathy. Please understand what we're dealing with here. You should have some empathy. You should feel for us. And absolutely, in the process, also slamming the White House and President Trump for disregarding the recommendation from the World Health Organization. What recommendation did the World Health Organization make? It made the recommendation, you don't need to limit travel. The Chinese had told us it's all contained. It's one little thing. It's going to all be right there. It cannot be transmitted person to person. This is what the World Health Organization was telling the world based on what China told it, and they were not even bothering to inquire or dig deeper. They just took their word for it. In the meantime, China was not allowing any U.S. inspectors inside to take a closer look. On January 31, the day that Trump initiated the travel ban with China, another source that stands with the libs, Vox, V-O-X, declared the evidence on travel bans for diseases is clear. They don't work. And again, joined with others, is saying all of this is racist. And then on January 31, Vox tweeting, is this going to be a deadly pandemic? No. Now, March 24th, from January 31 to March 24th, Vox deleted that tweet. And they took it down because it says, here's their wording, we have deleted a tweet from January 31 that no longer reflects the current reality of the coronavirus story. Huh. Why? Well, because it was proven that, yeah, this is a very dangerous situation. We do need travel restricted. And, of course, you had Nancy Pelosi jumping around and smiling and saying, oh, the president's fiddling as people are dying, and blaming the president for being too late. Well, he was the first to take some action. And what did he get for it? He got criticized at that time. Yeah, Nancy has had the issue raised, and she's responded to it. As some in the White House and Trump supporters have said, you know what, you had us all tied up with the impeachment thing. We're going to get into that as well a little bit later. I'd mentioned in the monologue about a Michigan governor who said Trump doesn't know what he's doing, he's not a doctor, and I'm going to decide what's best for my citizens. They're not going to be allowed to have this drug. She's changed her mind. Thank goodness for her citizens of her state. That story, when we continue.
Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton sponsors this segment. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. I'll see you at Red Fitness Lounge. Get details at redfitnesslounge.com. redfitnesslounge.com.
And it's Bear, Bear, Leroy Brown, the baddest man in the whole damn town. Better than old King Kong. Meaner than a junk.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Well, during that commercial break, this story just breaking, and that is the Democrats are going to move their national convention to pick their party's 2020 presidential nominee. Now they're going to move it to the week of August 17th. They think that's going to give them more time. I believe it was originally scheduled June. I'm drawing a blank on it right now, but now they're moving it to August 17th, which we'll put it, I believe, after the Republican convention. It's currently scheduled for July. We'll get in more details of that in a moment because I've got Dr. Gerard Lamero lined up to see how all this is going to affect politics moving forward. And there's some other developments as well we want to get into. But I'd mentioned going into the break, a governor who had told doctors in her state, we're hearing multiple stories of doctors inappropriately prescribing hydroxychloroquine or chloroquine to themselves, family, friends, and coworkers without a legitimate medical purpose. Why were these doctors doing that? Well, first of all, there was success with this malaria-type medication. According to some French researchers, that it was helping reverse the course for those suffering from COVID-19, that and maybe some additional drugs. So they were trying anything, everything. Maybe you don't have a magic bullet, but do we have a few shells we could fire that would slow it down, turn it around? And this apparently was working. And then President Trump did announce that, hey, this might be it. You know, we got a lot of things under study, but this might be it. Now, of course, that's that phrase from him, this might be something that could work, led to a stupid couple in Arizona deciding, well, let me see, this thing we put in the aquarium to clean the aquarium, that has chloroquine in it, we'll just take some of that. No, they're different types, and you took what would kill you. And it did kill the woman's husband. Not her, made her sick. And she's a big Democrat supporter. I told you this in a some stupidity like that will improve the gene pool. I'm sorry about the loss of her husband and her sickness, but who brought it on them? She's going to blame Trump, which he is. So anyway, the Michigan Democrat Governor Gretchen Whitmer told her administration, we will crack down, we will come after any physicians if you're going to use this until we say you can. They were not going to wait on the red tape in Michigan, so they started doing it. And she continued to fight against it because Trump said it could be a success. You know what they're doing now? Right now, she's requesting an emergency supply of the same damn drug. She said, we need an emergency supply. We're using it. It seems to be having some use. We need more. Send us more. In the midst of all of this, believe it or not, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is announcing a new House Select Committee will assess how the Trump administration has handled this crisis. They are looking for another congressional committee to investigate the Trump administration. No Russian collusion this time, no quid pro quo, but the virus, how did you handle it or blow it? Why? Again, it's the last bullet they might have to stop him before the election. We'll take a break. We'll come back with Dr. Gerard Lamero, get his tape on what they're doing there and the decision that I just told you about. Democrats are pushing their convention back. Please stand by.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Earlier today, in trying to make sure I had Dr. Gerard Lamero confirmed for this program at this time, we were kind of missing back and forth, and he sent me a quick message. Hey, I'm going to be there, but I'm working on a new revelations to how COVID-19 could affect the election in November. And Dr. Lamero, in the time since then, the Democrats have already made a change to their convention.
How you doing?
I'm doing well. Yeah, the Democrats now suddenly deciding in the last few minutes to roll their convention back to August the 17th from July 13th.
Well, maybe when they get to August, they'll figure out they're going to lose big, and they'll just go ahead and cancel it for
you
the
think?
Year.
Which, by the way, I was telling the audience is this story broken a moment ago. I couldn't recall off the top of my head, but the Republican convention is August 24th, so now they're pushing theirs just the week before. Theirs will be Milwaukee, yeah.
Which is actually quite a bad decision politically, because normally you would get a bounce for a week or two after your convention. You never want to precede the opponent's convention, I mean, at least in the history of political conventions.
Yeah, and like I said, you want a little bit of allowance to show that, hey, we're doing great, we've got support of the American public.
Yeah. Well, it's a political decision. Nothing they're going to do, though, that I can think of will actually impact the election. Donald Trump's going to win this one easily, it looks like.
Now, when we look at how COVID-19 is affecting everything, I mean, they're already talking about impaneling another House committee to start investigating how the Trump administration has failed to properly handle this crisis. It's not a Russian collusion story. It's not a quid pro quo. It's just whatever else they can throw at him.
I know, and it's utterly ridiculous because they have lost so much in terms of political stature and support and even loss of membership in their party from what they've been doing. Why do they want to continue on a strategy that's losing? The president is popular. He's worked hard. If there's any fault to be given, it's that the Chinese misled the world. We had a cardinal today in Southeast Asia, and this is a Catholic cardinal, saying that China owes the world not only an apology, but also compensation for causing so many deaths and this disease to spread as badly as it has. Do you think that by going after Trump for not acting better, whatever better would be than he's already done, he's running a incredibly well-orchestrated military mission, really. It's a war footing,
it's war footing for the
nation. And so I think it's utterly ridiculous. It shows that they don't think they're going to beat him even on this COVID virus, that they want to start impeaching him again. By the way, it's also going to lead to the loss of more seats in the House. They're going to lose the House. The question is by how many seats. This is going to, such a thing as another impeachment will probably cost them another 10 seats in the House.
Now, before you joined us, I was talking about what Trump has done and pointing out that on January 31, when he initiated the suspension of all flights from China and in Chinese nationals coming in, all that would stop. Immediately the left, including Biden and others, called him racist and said it's not necessary. Major publications and so forth were saying, once again, here he goes showing racist nationalism. And yet, when other countries started doing it the following month, they did not say that about them, and they have since gone silent on, yeah, that might have been a good idea. The only thing I can say now is he should have done it sooner.
Well, you know what? The American people are not fools. They have enormous common sense. That's something Ronald Reagan believed in, and I think I picked up from Ronald Reagan. And, you know, they know what's going on, and they have this party pegged. And this party is going down. It's going downhill. It's on its way to extinction. As many parties in our history, I always bring up the Whigs. They're no longer around, but they were once a very successful party, having elected several presidents in the 1800s.
And we have
the American people knows what's going on.
We have Bernie Sanders, of course, and Biden, and there was supposed to be another debate. That's not going to happen. It doesn't appear. Biden has said we don't need any more debates. Sanders is not getting any kind of endorsement he might have been expecting from Elizabeth Warren. And what she's saying, well, I'm too busy with the coronavirus crisis. In other words, she's using that as her crutch to say, I can't give you my time right now.
That's right. And I think that Joe Biden is still a placeholder. I think he will be replaced right before, right during, or right after the convention, depending on other circumstances and depending on what the establishment Democratic Party, if you will, the superdelegates, the established people within the establishment, the ones who have been running things, running the show for years, what they decide, because they know that Joe Biden is going to be literally a poor candidate, much like Hillary Clinton. They know what happened to Hillary Clinton. They know what Donald Trump is going to do to Joe Biden. And they're also afraid of Bernie Sanders because they don't want to be labeled as socialists, even though, let's face it, what else are they?
Well, and that's another thing I want to get into about COVID-19, that it's been kind of putting us in a socialist state. But before I do, the attention that Governor Andrew Cuomo is getting with his daily news conferences, and folks are saying, well, he's looking presidential. Maybe this is the guy. But he has said that I don't want to do that.
That's right. And that doesn't mean he won't, because they normally say that anyway, initially. But let's face it, he has a bad track record. He did things that could have made this crisis in New York a lot better. He made decisions that worked against being prepared for a pandemic, thinking that they could save the money and do other things. He doesn't have a track record to run on. The Democrats, though, are desperate. They are looking for anybody that can move the meter, get some sort of positive press, because, well, I shouldn't say positive press. They always get positive press in the Democratic Party.
Right.
They just don't get people to follow them.
I'm looking at a piece by Hans von Spakovsky from the Heritage Foundation. We have Hans on from time to time anyway. And he's talking about...
gentleman.
Oh, yeah. And just like you, extremely sharp. And he's talking about that the inside this coronavirus relief package, $400 million to states for the 2020 elections. But he's saying if we're not careful, that's opening up voter fraud when it goes into the states.
Well, that's a whole other issue that we could do an entire hour. We could do two segments on, because that whole thing, the voter harvesting, the jungle primaries. In California, we have about 20 counties that have more than a substantially more than 100% of their potential registrants are registered to vote. I mean, the voter fraud in California looks enormous. And it's very troubling to me because I try to predict elections based on what the American voter wants. The problem when you have literally millions of people who shouldn't be voting makes it harder for me to do my job.
And there's no doubt that I think the last time around that they had some of that voter harvesting where you go out and gather ballots from everybody within a 20-block area and say, I'll take and turn in your ballots. Either they didn't get delivered or they got changed or they got burned in a trash pile somewhere.
It's ripe for fraud. And there are other things that are ripe for fraud, too. For example, I'll give you an example in Colorado. The Colorado Secretary of State currently is a Democrat. Before that, it was a Republican. That Republican, for years, checked their database, the Colorado database, versus other states to see if the person was registered to vote in multiple states at the same time, which would be fraud, voter fraud potentially, if they voted in two states or more. And the Democrat, when elected here, decided to eliminate database checking. That's ripe for fraud. I mean, that's one way you cut down on fraud. Also, we have an awful lot of dead people that are still on the rolls, and people in places of power don't want to remove them from the voting rolls. What other reason is there than fraud to leave dead people on the voter rolls?
You're listening to Dr. Gerard Lamero, also author of the new book, Real World Socialism, which brings me to, in our closing questions here, COVID-19 has pretty much trying to lock us down, put us a little bit more like we might be under a socialist nation. We're not, but I mean, it's trying to impose certain restrictions, not necessarily violating constitutional rights yet, but some are beginning to get more and more upset over it. The next 2 weeks will be telling. How do you see, after COVID-19, the left, you think, that's going to try to oppose how we really get America back on track?
Well, you know, I've said for weeks now, I have a COVID model. I'm working on a new one now, too. And the COVID model that I had and I currently use, too, tells you when it's going to peak, okay, because that's a good place to say,
you had mentioned mid-April to mid-May.
Yeah, I said that weeks ago on air all across the country.
Right.
I said that, and it's coming right in. All the other models are catching up to me because I said it weeks ago.
Right.
And I said it would peak between April 15th and May 15th, and it is, depending on what state you're in, you know, the exact day it'll peak. But then the question becomes, okay, so once you peak, you know, you got most of the people in the hospital, you have enough hospital beds, you have enough of the anti-malaria drug and the Z-Packs to get people better who are ill. When do you restart the economy? Or do we let this 10 million people who just applied for unemployment insurance in the last 2 weeks, do we keep them unemployed and have another 10 million unemployed? And the answer is you got to restart the economy or we're going to go into bankruptcy like Venezuela or Cuba or North Korea. People are going to be starving. The country can only be bailed out so many times for so short a time, actually, you know, economically. But I think what's going to happen is Donald Trump is going to say, let's restart the country on May 1st. We had our 30 days. We're past the peak. And I think the Democrat governors who are running many of the states are going to say no.
All right. I've got to let it go there. We're
up
against a hard break, but I appreciate it. We'll see how that plays out. We'll have you back to discuss this in more detail, Doctor.
You bet. You have a wonderful day and stay healthy.
Dr. Gerard Lamero.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
Just a product of the rains, and I say, hey, y'all, and yeehaw, and I keep my Christmas lights on my front porch. This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I really hated to drop off Dr. Romero as fast as I did. Sometimes he can stay a little bit longer, but the guy does a lot of radio interviews, and so I didn't want to put him in a bind. But the point he was closing on, and I will have him back to get into more detail, after we finish with COVID-19, and we have got all these people laid off, and they're getting these checks, and the businesses are stale and stagnant. I mean, you can see unemployment rate go up to 20-25% unemployment until we get things back on track, maybe higher. The point being that some of those on the left would like to say, this is the perfect setting for a socialist state. Don't bring everybody back. Don't give them all the new jobs. Don't restart. And a lot of businesses, unfortunately, might not be able to restart, even with some federal help. The mainstream media is constantly sniping and trying to find a way to blame Trump for anything that goes wrong with this, and trying to constantly put him at odds against others. Even Dr. Fauci, the head of the National Institute for Infectious Diseases, flat out had to tell them at one point, said, "You guys don't help when you try to pit me against the president," talking about the mainstream media. Well, they did it again the other day with Governor Gavin Newsom, Democrat of California, not a Trump supporter, obviously. He is a lefty, and I'm going to explain in more detail in a moment, but he's not a big fan of Trump overall. And so anchor Jake Tapper thought this would be a guy. We can get him fired up, and he will lash into Trump. He'll go right for the jugular. Here's a setup by Tapper, and then watch the response.
I've talked to officials throughout the country who have said that they have to temper their remarks and what they say about the federal government response for fear that President Trump will punish the citizens of their state if he considers them to be a complainer. You and President Trump seem to have been working collaboratively. He praised you yesterday. Do you find yourself by necessity tempering what you say in terms of any issues you might have with the federal response?
I've been consistent, and Jake, you know this. We've been dealing with historic wildfires and droughts out in the West here in California. And I've always said, I've said it back a year ago, this is not time to bicker. I don't care who's up and down, whose polls are looking better than someone else's, or who wants to run for president or who doesn't. When it comes to times of crisis, we need to raise above the partisanship. And I've extended always an open hand, not a closed fist in those circumstances. And this is no different. But let me just be candid with you. I'd be lying to you to say that he hasn't been responsive to our needs. He has.
Bang. Let me be candid with you. I'd be lying to you to say that Trump has not been responsive to our needs. He has. Tapper spent all that setup question. I've talked to officials say they have to temper their remarks. They got to be careful what they say because Trump might punish them and their citizens if he thinks they're complaining. In other words, he set the hook and Tapper spit it. I mean, just as Tapper tried to set it, the governor spit it out, said, "I'd be lying to say he hasn't been responsive to our needs." He has. And in fact, he added some additional clarification to that point.
Let me just be candid with you. I'd be lying to you to say that he hasn't been responsive to our needs. He has. And so as a question, as a sort of an offer of objectivity, I have to acknowledge that publicly. And the fact is, every time I've called the president, he's quickly gotten on the line. When we asked to get support for that mercy ship in Southern California, he was able to direct that in real time. We got 2,000 of these field medical sites that are up, almost all operational now in the state because of his support. And those are the facts. We always want more. I could criticize this or that. At the end of the day, we're just trying to focus on developing a relationship of trust as a matter of course, because there's just too many Americans, 40 million that live in this state, that deserve us to get together and get along.
Yeah, that's the situation right now. I don't care what your religion is, your skin color, your basic beliefs. If you're on the field with a fellow soldier and the bullets start coming and the bombs start dropping in, incoming, and you die for the same foxhole, you're trying your best to hunker deep down in that foxhole together. And Newsom's made it very clear. The president has been responsive to our needs. Now, again, I don't want you to think that he's gone all Republican. He was asked in a news conference just yesterday, does this provide an opportunity to usher in, quote, a progressive era through policy changes shifting American society away from capitalism? Question from Bloomberg News reporter. In other words, an opportunity for additional progressive steps on the national and state level. The California Globe reported the governor gave a long-winded answer which culminated in yes, admitting there's a political opportunity born out of the pandemic, an opportunity for reimagining a more progressive era as it relates to capitalism. So make no mistake about it. They will still lead you down that road if they get the opportunity. We're going to take a break. When we come back, of course, in the next hour, we're going to talk again about how the mainstream media wants to paint Trump as a shriveling, shaking, trembling, cowering person. Oh, yeah, that's their plan. Stand by.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors, USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.